This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike. What up?
What up? The wind is blowing and it's cold outside.
Is it raining yet or no?
Not yet, but it's fixing to.
Yeah.
I can tell.
Supposed to get a lot of rain for the next week.
A lot?
Well, 100% on Thursday.
And is that all?
Yeah.
How about 120%?
Well, the governor would like that.
Yeah, I'm sure. well, enough
of the politics.
Yeah, well, you know, rain's not bad sometimes.
No.
Middle of August, it sounds good. Anyway, welcome to the show. And this is a show about landscaping and plants and how to do stuff. And if you have questions, just give me a call at 673-4464. Get you right on the air. You can ask your question, and I will give you the correct answer. How's that grab you? You know,
sounds
correct
good.
Answer. At least really close.
Close enough to perfect.
That's right. And what's that other thing? Oh, 541radio.com. If there. You're not, you know, you can pick it up at your leisure, if you will.
On the KQEN podcast.
Yeah, that one. I didn't get that part. You didn't tell me that part, man.
Now you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, last week I spoke a little bit about perennials in your landscape plan and what they do and how they grow and, you know, just, you know, covering some of the benefits and care of perennials. They're an easy plant to grow. And there's a few kind of tender ones, but basically the perennials we have up here in our area that are sold locally are you know, they can withstand a lot of rain, a lot of wet, a lot of cold, a lot of heat, you know, and maybe not in that order, but they are all on the same day, I'm not sure. But they are continuous bloomers for the most part of the spring and sometimes into early summer, and some of them will bloom almost all summer into the fall. So it depends on what you want in your landscape color wise throughout your growing season, because so many plants that we have, they have the one time blooming in the spring, late spring to maybe May or something like that. And then they push their new growth and you get nice bright green leaves. And they do their growth thing at that point in time. And then you have to wait until the following spring to get some more blooms. But perennials, when you plant them in between those types of plants, you have color just about sometimes 8 months, 9 months out of the year. So it just depends on the variety that you pick. And of course, your maintenance of it, the ground has a lot to do with it. Your fertilizing schedule, your watering schedule, and those are the kinds of little items that I talk about here so that you can have success with anything that you plant. And that's my goal, is to make you a happy planter. And not a happy camper, a happy planter. And if you do have a question, like I say, 673-4464, we'll get you right on here and you can ask your question. I'll give you an answer, and you go to work and have success in your landscape. How's that crap?
Sounds good. Then let you know how it turned out.
Yeah. Call back and say, my yard was a raging success, and it was all because you answered my question. Thank you so much, Mike. Yeah, right.
There you go.
Oh, gosh. But last week, and there's been a few other times I've spoken about perennials in your landscape plan, and, you know, just covering some of the benefits and some of the care, because it's not all the same. There's some that take a little bit more of this or a little bit more of that, and some of them are great in full sun. Some of them need a little bit of shade. Some of them even work real well in full shade. So, you know, I'll try to expand a little bit more, but there's so much to know about them. I've got two hardback copies of books on perennials.
Is that one of them right
no,
there?
No, that's the, I brought the book on rhododendrons today in case I run out of stuff to say. I'll talk
all
about
right.
The rhodies, but
don't leave it here.
No, God forbid. You guys steal things and hide them on me.
Right.
But, You know, there, like I say, there's so much to know about perennials, and it would like take a couple of books to cover the care and the upkeep for a beautiful perennial garden. But if you get started, if you've never done it before, never planted perennials before, or thinking about it, try a few. Go to, you can go to Wintergreen, or you can go to the box stores or the co-op or something. They all have some sort of perennial plants there. Usually throughout the whole year, and see what catches your eye. See what it's. Try to picture what it's going to look like in your yard. Maybe you've got a fully landscaped yard, but yeah, you got some empty spots, and you don't know quite what to fill it with. And you've done it with say geraniums or petunias or marigolds in the past, which are all beautiful flowers throughout the growing season as long as it's warm and, mm-hmm. and toasty and sunny. They do well, but then you get a little bit of cold weather and they kind of bow out of the picture.
They're a little finicky.
Yeah, or if it gets really hot in August, which it's been known to happen around here.
No.
They kind of curl up their toes and say, forget it, I'm not going to play. I'm not going to play in this weather anymore.
See you later.
Yeah, but whereas perennials can, they're hardier, and they're going to be able to withstand any kind of weather extreme, if you will.
Nice.
Like last summer when we had day after day after day of scorching sun.
That was your favorite week.
Yeah, I love that week. I was wishing I was a lifeguard in Acapulco at that time. But unfortunately, I couldn't get there. Oh, gosh.
Darn COVID.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it, like I say, it would take a book to cover all the care and upkeep for a beautiful perennial garden. But, you know, you can get started, and there are some. And these books that I'm speaking about, you can find them at the box stores. You can find them, you know, go to the public library, and they probably have a dozen or two books on plants and perennials, or While Away Books has a lot of gardening
books.
That's
a good place.
Yeah, I know. It's one of my favorite bookstores because they got a lot of books. They got thousands and thousands of books there.
My daughter and her daughter go there quite a bit. They got a they have an exchange where you get credit.
I got credit. I turn in all my old ones, and pretty soon I got $100
credit. She likes the place. Yes. While Away Books.
While Away Books on Harvard Boulevard.
Yep.
Right by the old, what was that market?
Grocery outlet. Soon to be Nickabobs.
Yeah, can you imagine a Nickabobs that big? It's got to be more than Nickabobs.
Wow.
That's huge. That's a lot of sandwiches.
They've been out on Diamond Lake forever, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah, forever.
Maybe they outgrown the place.
Well, I think they have. But first step. You got to educate yourself on the types of perennials that there are and the care of them. You know, just don't go in willy-nilly into, you know, one of the box stores or a nursery and say, oh, that looks pretty, mm-hmm. that looks pretty, take them home. And not educate yourself. Educating yourself means, hey, what kind of care do these things need? What kind of sunlight or what kind of shade do they need? Because like I say, there's some that'll do well in full sun, mm-hmm. some do well in full shade.
Be kind of like buying a used car without driving it.
Well, yeah.
Test driving.
Yeah, test driving it when the wheels fall off, right? the soil preparation, I've harped and preached on that for 20 years now. The soil prep is your key to success. The better you make your soil to plant whatever you're planting, perennials or trees, it doesn't matter, is what's going to get you optimum results on growth on any plant. If it's nice and loose and got some compost in it and, all those kinds of good things, they're going to do well. And it's not that big of a deal to get a bag of potting soil and mix it in with your existing soil in your yard until you get a homogeneous mix, you know, like 50-50 with your yard soil and 50% with your potting soil or your potting mix. You mix it all together and you got the best of both worlds, because most of the soil around here is clay, which mm-hmm. is full of nutrition, and then the potting soil it's loose enough to where the new roots in any plant can get out very easily, and the more quickly the new roots can generate growth into their new planting spot, the better off they do and the quicker they are. So those are the kinds of things I talk about when I'm I'm speaking about educating yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, and then how big will they get?
I mean, sure to water them.
You know, be quiet now. Yes, you need to water them, but not as much as Dale would water his. Oh, gosh. But in that education process, you know, how much of your yard you want planted in perennials? You know, you have to, you know, if your yard is large, you know, do you need a plan for best results? Do you need to sit down and maybe sketch something out and actually measure your yard and say, well, I've got blank spaces for, you know, from, say, one rhododendron to the next. I got 10 feet of space. And what can I do in there? Well, you could probably put four or five perennials in that kind of space and not compete or hurt your existing landscape and still have a good perennial garden in that empty space, and
it'll still look good.
Exactly. And you're not overcrowding anything. You're giving it plenty of space to grow, and they're really easy to take care of. That's the key to perennials.
Yes, that's the name of the game.
Yeah, one of the, that's why I like them so much, because there are, oh gosh, we got some at home that we planted up on the hillside just to test them, you know, on the hillside with, you know, it's just above the house a little ways. You know, I clear the brush out of the way and clear some of the weeds out of the way, dig a hole and mix it up a little bit and stick one in and see if it grows. Well, gosh, we've had some of them in for probably 15 years, and they're just getting bigger and better every year.
That's almost a lifetime.
Well, yeah, it's perennial. That means it goes a long time.
Long time.
Yeah, okay. Okay, this is an educational show, that's for sure.
See, you educate me, and then the audience listens.
Yeah, yeah, then they listen to you and go backwards.
Nah.
But if your yard is you know, really good size, you know, just like I say, plan it, measure it, get a vision for what you want, and look at the empty spots. Maybe along the driveway, maybe along a fence line, maybe just off a patio, or even potted perennials. Anything you can get like that will really spruce up and brighten up the yard. It will make your yard really attractive to honeybees, butterflies, hummingbirds, all that kind of stuff that is good in the long term. If your yard is small, well, hey, just a few here and there, just to kind of see how they go. And if you've never done it before, don't overplant it. And I've stressed that many times in the past. Don't overplant. Just don't put them a foot apart and say, oh, boy, I covered that area. Well, in 2 months, you're going to go, wow, why did I plant all those plants so close together?
Yikes.
You know, half of them are dying because they don't have any room, or they're not getting enough water, or something like that. So give them space, and, you know, don't overdo it. If after a year you've planted and you still have space, well, go ahead and add a few more here and there, just to kind of shorten up the bare spots. That's all you have
to cover things up.
Yeah, cover them up a little bit. So, but there's so many varieties out there. There, like I say, there's, oh gosh, literally hundreds, maybe thousands of perennials that you can choose from. Maybe not here in Douglas County, but, you know, worldwide, and where they originate. And a lot of these perennials, they grow in wild, forlorn places on their own, in high mountain meadows and things like that. And you think, well, how in the heck does a flower go clear up here? Well, they're tough. That's how it grows clear up there. They're very, very tough.
Speaking of tough, we got a tough break coming up.
We got a break. Okay.
All right.
I shall return.
All right. Hey, we're live. We want to hear from you. What's our number?
673-4464. Please call. I like to talk to people.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
That's a nice little paycheck.
Yeah.
Anyway, we still have our lines open for you.
673-4464 if you have a question. And it doesn't have to be just on perennials. It can be on trees, shrubs, bark mulch, rocks. I can tell you where to get cool rocks. I'll tell you, I love cool rocks.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of places, but I got secret places.
Yeah, down by the river.
Well, yeah, that's one place. I used to go up into the mountains up like way up above Little River up in Cabot Creek country and all that. And the farther up you get, the prettier the rocks get. And, you know, there's about 10 jillion of them, so nobody cares if you take three or four. Even sometimes when you're going up some of them old logging roads and you, some of the cut banks are pretty high and big old rocks roll down after a while and wow, look at that. That's a cool shape or that's a cool color or whatever. Yeah, throw it in the pickup and take it home and put it in your landscape.
There you go.
Nobody cares.
And you can use it also for weight in the back when it's icy.
Yeah, but I take it out.
Oh, okay. That's right. You're displaying it.
I'm displaying. I'm adding to my landscape. Anyway, I'm talking about perennials, et cetera. And when you get to know what your plants are doing, you've planted them, you're watching them, you're seeing them, and all of a sudden the miracle of hot weather shows up here in Douglas County, and you go, whoa, and you don't want to water them to death, but you want to keep your eye on them and see if they're drooping, if the little plant is kind of droopy and it looks like it's limp, it needs water. If the leaves are straight out and turning brown, that's too much water. So you have to get a happy medium in there. And really the best way to assess what it needs is to actually stick your finger down in the soil in several places around the plant. And if you can feel moisture in it, down, say, 3-4 inches, hey, you're good to go. It doesn't need anything. But if you go down 3 or 4 inches and it's bone dry, hey, then you give it a good soak. And then the next a week goes by and do the same test again in a different area with the same type of plant. And if it's damp, you're okay. But again, if it's bone dry, soak it. So you'll know that basically you're going to have to water them once a week, or maybe you're going to have to water them twice a week, but usually no more than twice a week is really necessary on a plant like that. And as they root in and they get larger and the roots root systems develop more, they're going to need less water. There are not less water, but less times to water. In other words, maybe they could go 2 weeks without a watering. That kind of thing. Yeah, because as they develop that root system, the root system naturally goes down to where the moisture is. It follows the moisture. As the moisture level drops, so do the root systems to a certain extent.
That's what trees do, too.
Exactly.
It?
That's why the root systems are real deep. Yeah. But most perennials are very hardy, and they're not going to need a full-blown sprinkler system on them. If you have a full-blown sprinkler system already installed, and if you've got a sprinkler head that's near your plantation of perennials, you might adjust it down so it doesn't get as much water, say, as the rest of the zone does with other plants. Or you may have to adjust the times or the spray pattern or, you know, the times per week that it actually comes on. And really, you're not looking at watering until maybe mid-May. It depends. This cool weather, of course. Who knows how long it's going to extend itself.
Yeah, we're supposed to get rain and snow mixed Thursday night.
Oh, is that right? Oh, great. That's what I wanted. But, you know, occasionally this cool rainy weather extends itself clear into April.
Yep.
And I've seen, I remember one Mother's Day when we were doing it was Mother's Day week. We were doing deliveries and stuff from our floral department, and it rained so hard. Oh. I mean, you couldn't hardly see the road in the middle of the day. It's just pouring down, and the windshield wipers are going fast. I thought they're going to fly off the truck.
Yeah.
But you know, and then I've seen Mays where it's just, you know, 85 degrees. And kind of pleasant if you're not doing much. If you're just sitting there drinking Kool-Aid or lemonade or something like that.
Oregon, as we say.
Yeah, that is Oregon. And I'm just thankful that we don't live in Central California.
Oh, gosh.
I think I heard that they're getting another, atmospheric river.
Yep.
Yeah. That's totally amazing because they've got so much snow in their mountains now. I'm surprised the whole place hasn't flooded and cracked.
Well, they were complaining about a big drought. So
when?
California.
Yeah, when though? Not recently.
No, not recently. But when all
no,
the
in
lakes
the past
were...
in the past decade, it's been pretty pretty stinking dry down in
They're
the California.
Getting what they want now.
Well, that's good, and I hope it fills up all their creeks, their reservoirs, and their groundwater, and all that.
And I'll leave all those bodies in the lakes.
Yeah, let them stay at the bottom.
That's terrible.
Yeah, this is a plant show.
Well, they were planted.
Stop it. But the full-blown sprinkler system might be an overkill, and it might be an overkill for what you've got in there right now if you're having problems with some plants dying. Always check your soil at least two or three times during the spring-summer season, because if you're watering too much, you're spending a lot of money on water that you don't need. So if you cut it back, hey, your water bill gets cut back. It's that simple. And if everybody practiced that, we wouldn't be short on water, you know? So the other thing is, what type of fertilizer is best for the blooms and the good growth? Well, there are, in fact, fertilizers that are strictly for flowers, strictly for perennials, strictly for blooming types of plants. And that's what you want to look for when you're fertilizer shopping. It's good to read the labels. You know, they'll have a dozen different types or more of fertilizers in there, and they'll have the formulation right on the front of the bag, and then it'll be maybe a paragraph down at the bottom of the bag where it'll say, this fertilizer is good for A, B, C, D, and E, and you say, hey, I'm going to try that. And you try that, and you work with that, and if it's doing a good job, that's what you want to stick with. On flowers and shrubs, perennials, things like that, don't put lawn food on it. It's too high in nitrogen. Mm. It'll cause a lot of good growth, but it won't bloom much because the flower production is caused by phosphorus and potassium, which are the two, the second number and the third number on any fertilizer bag. Nitrogen is always the first number on a nitrogen bag. High nitrogen is good for lawns. It's not good for flowers. It's not good for shrubs. You want to get something that they're going to use and not burn them up. I've burned my share of plants trying to force plants that were, I thought, a little weak, and I thought, well, I'll just give them a little shot here. Yeah, well, I'll give them another little shot. And pretty soon, those little shots turned into dead leaves.
And the
plant went, thanks, but no thanks. Yeah, you're fed me, Jack. So don't do that. Just be very conservative. I know that's a bad word to use on the radio, but be very conservative on your fertilization and as you do your watering, and you'll have great success, guaranteed. So, like I say, no sprinkler systems and good fertilizer, and you're going to go good. So you want to start small and learn what does best in your yard. You know, there are some, depending on your soil, depending on the aspect and the direction of the sunlight in your yard, whether you have shade trees shading most of the place or you're in full sun, You want to start small, not invest $200 in plants and have $150 worth die because it was just too hot. Or usually too shady doesn't really matter, but too hot does matter on some of these things, especially in the first year after you've planted them because they're not.
Still babies.
Yeah, they're babies and not even preteen at that point. but once, you know, if they survive that first year, you can pretty much say, hey, I'm a success. I did it right. And it gets easier after that. And you spend less time and you get more blooms. But so start small, learn what does best in your yard before you plant too much. And you create a full-time job for yourself as well. And you might have to, in that full-time job, you might have to pull out the dead ones and plant new ones if you're so inclined. Yeah. Factors to consider on when you're looking at these plants are the size, not when you're buying them, but the ultimate size. How large will they actually get? How large will they actually grow in a year to 3 years, and plant them accordingly? It's the style of them is important. The style, is it a tall plant? Is it a spreading plant? Is it a rounded plant? I mean, there's the style, the shape, and then the color. Is it colorful, you know, 3 months out of the year or 6 months out of the year? You know, pick your favorite colors and stick with them. And you can try an experimental one here and there just to see if you like it or not.
Sure.
But those are some of the things you want to do for your yard and say, because a poorly planted garden is going to cost you time and money. You're going to do it over and over and over until you get it right.
Yeah, that's no fun.
No, it isn't. And how much time are you willing to work in your garden?
Yeah.
Once you plant it, that's depends on how much you plant, but there's considerable work involved if you do it correctly. Well, if you have to, if you don't do what I've said previous year in the proper manner, you're going to be redoing it and redoing it and redoing it until you finally catch on and say, you know, I'm doing something wrong. I'll call Mike Winters on the Winters Garden Show.
And which he is. You can still do.
Yeah, 673-4464. And then you have to ask yourself, how much time am I willing to put in this garden? Is it a daily thing or is it a weekly thing? A weekly thing is a lot more fun than a daily thing, unless you're a yard fanatic like my wife is, and she's out there cutting this and doing this. You don't have to do that. It's not time for that. She's, well, I want to do this, this, and this.
I'm bored.
You see, yeah, I bore her. But in the spring and the summer, your workload, of course, is going to be more than in the winter. In the winter, you're not going to do much. You may do a little bit of pruning to shape the plant. Maybe the plant is 3 feet tall, but you only want it 2 feet tall or a foot and a half. Go ahead and prune it. You can prune it square, straight across the top, or you can round it out, or you can thin it out. You can shape it in any direction or any style that you like in that respect. And then when it starts growing the following year, you can continue that type of pruning to shape it in what you're looking for, what you want to create. What you're doing is creating something. I mean, you're creating that look for your yard. You're creating something that's going to be pleasing to your eye year-round. And if you get right on it, the more attention you pay, the easier it gets and the less time you actually spend in your garden doing those kind of things. So you can create two types of those perennial gardens, and they don't mix. You can create the little separate perennial garden, one that needs little care, and then the other one needs much care. What do you want to do, a little or much?
Up to you.
Yeah. Do we have a break or something?
We do.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
I'll be back.
And the number?
673-4464 is the number.
There you go. 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It is, absolutely. We won't go into any further than that. We're talking, never mind.
Yeah, well, welcome back. We're done with the break, and Dale is just trying to tempt me into saying things I don't want. But I've been talking about perennials and the care and how to buy them and that kind of thing. And, my last shot before the break was, you know, depending on how much you plant and how large your little perennial garden is, you can do it so that you just do a little bit of work. Or if you've got a big garden and you plant too much, you got a lot of work. So your choice. How much do you like to work in the dirt?
Well, you are the commissioner of dirt.
I know. I've done a lot of dirt jobs. A lot of dirty jobs. Oh, gosh, over the years. 50 years worth. Jeez.
Well, congratulations.
No, thanks. I'm done.
You're out of there.
I'm out of there. Well, I go in every morning and still meet with the crew and, you know, how's it going? Did you get Joe Blow's done? And did you get Dr. So-and-so all squared away with his broken sprinkler? And, you know, just kind of remind them, and the new owner is there listening as well.
Yeah.
So she's catching on real good, and she goes out with the landscape maintenance crew once or twice a week for a little bit, and just to see what they're doing and where the places are. And
nice.
You know, she's really a hands-on person.
Mm-hmm. Seemed like a real nice gal when she was
very,
in here.
Very, very interested and very gung-ho on the whole place. I mean, couldn't get a better buyer, I'll tell you.
Nice.
The nursery is in good hands, and she's got a lot of plans for some expansion kinds of things and doing this, and she wants to add this and wants to add that. And I'm thinking, boy, I'll tell you what, I don't have that kind of energy anymore.
Speaking of which, is she going to carry on the Mother's Day tradition of delivering?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll be back I'll be back delivering. My wife will deliver. You know, there'll be five of us delivering. You can't hardly keep up with it. No, we'll be back there, and so to help her in those kinds of times, and I'm sure she'll be delivering too. So, and she's already done some of that with the floral department, but. You know, like I said in the past, they always send me out to Camas Valley and the boondocks. And yeah, you go up to North Umpqua 32 miles and take a left. You know?
Take a left at the railroad track.
Yeah, and then you go up this canyon, and there's a house up there.
They have a dog and out there waiting for you?
You know, five of them usually.
Big ones.
Yeah, big ones. I've been in that, at least three and sometimes five.
And not good.
There was one road. Gosh, it's not clear to Steamboat, but it's on the way to Steamboat. You know, up by the Dogwood Motel in that kind of area.
Yeah,
and it's a Forest Service road. Nothing. There's no private place up this Forest Service road. So I go in there about a mile, and then the Forest Service road kind of takes off to the right, and I just keep going straight, and pretty soon there's this maybe 10-acre meadow with this nice looking log home in the middle of it. And I thought, well, maybe this is the right place. You know?
Yeah.
I hope so, because I'm lost.
I can't turn around.
Oh, they had a big turnaround spot.
Oh.
And I didn't even have to get out of the truck. And this lady comes walking out with her, I think she only had two dogs, but they were as big as horses.
Oh,
and they had long teeth, so I didn't get out of the truck.
Oh,
I just handed her the flowers and say, Happy Mother's Day. I hope you enjoy them. Oh, they're beautiful, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but that's kind of fun because you meet a lot of people and you make them happy. I mean, all of them got smiles on their face.
They don't have a shotgun.
No shotguns or anything like that. You know, and the dogs even settle down after a while. So, anyway, that's Mother's Day. That's down the
couple
road
of months.
Here. Yeah, a couple of months. Yeah. So, like I say, the bigger the garden, the more work you're going to have. The smaller the garden, it's easier to take care of, and the less time you're going to put in. And if you're a newbie at this, try a small one first. See what works. See what you like, and you can always expand it a little bit each year if you've got it. Once you get the thing down, once you see how it's going, once you see how it's working, how they all grow, you know, the type of watering, the time of watering that you have to do, that kind of thing, you can expand, because then you've got experience in saying, hey, yeah, I like this because it grows really well and blooms for 6 months and then looks really great the rest of the year, and that's where you gain that experience, and that learning curve gets less steep and less sharp, and you can do it. But you know, and at my house, we have both types of those. My wife is a little overzealous in her planting of flowers. She likes them all over the place, whereas I just plant a few here and there that I like.
And so I
take care of mine. You take care of yours, honey.
Yours, mine.
Yeah, but she takes good care of them. And, you know, I tend to like plants that are tough and don't need daily attention.
Mm-hmm.
And some of hers need, well, maybe not daily attention, but, you know, every other day, especially when the weather gets warmer. And, you know, and my wife is a little bit opposite of me. I know that's hard to believe, but in that she likes a lot of color, many blooms. And the more color and the more blooms you got, the more work you've got, too, in deadheading blooms or pruning the plant or making sure it's properly fertilized and watered. So, in fact, can bloom really nice. And where I'm more of a bonsai guy, you just kind of cut them once a year and you're good to go.
Let them go.
Yeah. But those kind of plants that she likes, they just require more pruning, more watering, and more general care. And as long as she's willing to do it, hey, you know, I give her all the credit in the world.
More power to her.
That's right. And like I say, my high maintenance plants are bonsai. I prune them once a year. And I do water them because they're in pots. And when it's hot, when it's real hot, every night I'm out there with the hose, but it only takes like 15 minutes to, I got about, 20 of them on my back wall, and it takes about, maybe 10 to 15 minutes to get them a good soak, and they're looking good. It's easy to do, and they don't take a lot of fertilizer because they're in a small pot.
And you're done with them for a while.
And I'm done with them for a few days, yeah. And I stress them on purpose just to see how long they can go without any care. And some of them I've let go even in the summer for 3 and 4 days and just watch them closely. And if I see them starting to wilt a little bit, then I know that 4 days is too much. I better, put it down to 2 days or, every 2 days or every 3 days to water. And that's how you get to know your plants. That's how you get to know their needs and, how to keep them alive, how to keep them healthy and stuff like that. So, like I say, 3 times a week in a hot summer and a little bit of pruning, very minimal fertilizing, and no blooms to mess with because most of my bonsai don't bloom. And, because they're pines and juniper and other dwarf trees that I've picked up over the years that are kind of odd, weird, and misshapen. One I have... I still have it. Was run over by a semi way back. I've had it for, I forget how many years I had it, 25 years. And it got run over by a semi and kind of smashed it. So I rescued it. I asked the nursery guy, I said, what are you going to do with that plant that got run over? He says, throw it on a burn pile. I says, can I have it? He says, yeah, go take it. Okay. And so where the trunk was split, I just taped them together, and within a year it had grown back together, and then took the tape off, and then it was kind of gnarled and beat up, and gives it that aura of ancient age, and hey, okay, it worked. So, but
kind of like the tree you found in the dump.
Exactly. These plants are hardier than what most people give them credit for. They think, oh, my gosh, it's not going to live. I better do this or better do that. And they're doing the wrong thing. Leave them alone, for crying out loud. They want to live. They do.
And give them a chance.
Give them a little water. Don't fertilize them yet. Give them a little water. Let them revive a little bit. Let them grow a few roots, and then you can fertilize them. Then you can, start to prune on them. But in the meantime, there's not much you have to do. So now, there's... a lot of blooming trees around, if you've
noticed those,
right now. And people say, what are they? Well, the white ones, the white blooming ones are wild plum trees. Mm. Somebody spit a plum seed out one day and it grew into a tree. They're just a wild plum tree. And they will have plums. They're not very large, but they bloom this time of year. They're the first ones to come out, really, and they're white. And as I drove around today and yesterday, it's amazing how many of them there are. And it's not just in town. It's like along the highway, like from here to Sutherland, if you take the old highway, there's hundreds of them. Along on in the swampy areas and by the railroad tracks. They're kind of, some of them are kind of big and roundy and just full of white blooms. And I would hesitate to put them in a small yard simply because they grow so fast.
They're pretty large.
They get pretty large. But if you kept them pruned and kept them shaped, they would do fine in a small yard. They would do better in a larger yard, so you didn't have to work on them every other year. But those are what's are blooming right now. There's great, big, beautiful, white blooming trees, and they're always the first ones that you see in mass here in Douglas County.
What are the kind of orange, pink ones?
Trees?
Yeah. They're in bloom, more pink, I guess.
Well, they're probably a flowering plum of some sort.
Oh,
or
okay.
Maybe a flowering crab.
I have noticed a lot of those.
Yeah, there's a few. There, and if you notice from now till, gosh, May, you're going to see more and more of that, you know, because every day that, you know, this kind of weather, they're slower to open, but it's not snowing, except maybe tonight. But it's not snowing, and it's that time. They're a little late this year because we've had, you know, that one
cold
week and a half of snow there the first part of the month. And, you know, but do we have a break? You got your finger on the horn.
One final break. Yes, we will be back. And the number once again, Mr. Mike?
673-4464.
All right. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. We're back, obviously, and we're still searching for you from a phone call.
Yeah, if you don't want to talk, okay, that's up to you, but you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah, see?
Anyway, I'm talking about early blooming plants, and we all are seeing about a billion daffodils everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I saw some more the other day. Geez, yep. Yellow ones in Myrtle Creek.
Yeah, they're popping up everywhere. I mean, you can't go a mile somewhere on one of these back roads out here and not see a bunch of them. I love them. They're crazy.
And I thought of you when I saw them. Oh.
Daffodils. You learn something.
Yeah. Mike Winters.
Yeah. But, you know, and like I say, the blooming trees that are starting right now, it's going to be a short time, I would say, within the next 20 to 30 days that you're going to see a lot more of the blooming types, the flowering cherries and the fruit trees and things like that are going to be popping out everywhere. This is really shaping up to be a good spring because we've had sufficient water, and so the ground is good and damp, good and wet. And the trees, you know, in the last, I'd say 2 years with all this drought stuff that we had, they bloomed, they grew, but not as vibrantly
as they should have.
Yeah, as they have in the past when we had more normal, normal precipitation rates. But the next 2 months are going to be a lot of color popping up everywhere, and then you're going to have the rhodies, the azaleas, and in fact, I saw some azaleas and dwarf rhodies already blooming on the corner of Albertson's on that at that
Stewart Parkway.
Yeah, on that sharp corner there where Albertson's is. There's some dwarf rhodies in there, and they're kind of a violet purple. Real pretty, and they bloom early, and they're out there in the full sun next to a hot road and everything else, and they look good all the time. I mean, all summer, nothing bothers those two. They just go. But some of the other shrubs that are doing really well right now, if you see a shrub that's, a medium-sized three-foot by 3-foot, thing that has about a million yellow, bright yellow blossoms on it. That's a forsythia, and they bloom early every year. And for a bright spot in your yard, they make an excellent thing. If you had a hedge of them, it would knock your neighbor's eyeballs right out on the ground.
Love it.
But the negative part of those is that they grow so good and so quick that you have to prune them at least every other year.
Whoa.
You know, just to kind of keep them
from overtaking
your home or your neighbor's home. You know? But they're a gorgeous shrub. And once they're planted, there's nothing you have to do with them. They just grow in spite of you, not because of you. And
nice.
and they're all over. You know, they're just hundreds of them everywhere. And of course, the camellias are starting to bloom. Camellias, for the most part, are evergreen. A beautiful green, shiny leaf, pretty good sized leaf, and they have beautiful, beautiful flowers, and are starting to open up right now. I've seen a few. I have a few at the nursery that are opening up, and when they begin to bloom, they'll bloom for a good 2 months.
Soon as
any heat comes along, the blooms will fade fairly early. Yeah. But if you wanted a shrub that grows tall into maybe a mini tree, mine are, 30, 40 years old, and I've kept, and I got them about 12 feet tall. You know, I keep them about 12 feet tall. I prune them and round them out, thin them out, and they're just healthy as horses, and they're just doing really well, and they're just loaded with flowers, just loaded.
Nice.
And when you prune them, is like after they've flowered, and all the flowers fall off, and then the new growth starts. That's when you want to prune those and get them. If they're too big, shape them, bring them down, shape them up, make them, you know, less bulky. Whatever technique you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they have plenty of time to form buds for the following year. If you prune them in the winter, see, they've already got the buds formed. In the winter, they actually form the buds about, say, October, and you start seeing buds on them, big buds. But and if you let them go, they're going to bloom. But if you prune them in the summer, or even in the fall, they don't have any flowers, or they might have a few flowers, but not many, because you've already pruned all the buds off.
Good stuff off.
Exactly, and the same thing with rhododendrons. All the rhododendrons you see right now are fully budded. Some of them are even open. I've seen a couple, not many, but a couple. But in the next 60 days, you're going to see a whole lot of rhododendrons blooming all over this town, all over this county. And the best time to prune a rhododendron is right after they're done blooming and the flowers are fading and beginning to fall off before the new growth starts. You prune them. You get them done. Are we done?
Almost. We got 5 seconds.
5 seconds. We'll see you next week. Call me.
That was only two. All righty. You want to put any last words in? We got 30 seconds now.
Okay, goodbye. Have happy planting. I hope you do well and you listened up well.
We'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Afternoon Report is next.